What is the name that you always wished you had? 651-641-1071. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
So we talked about this a little bit in, I think it was the Dirt Alert update, that Anne Hathaway is like, don't call me Anne.
Even that's Angel my name.
In the morning.
She said, call me Annie. That's what I want to be called.
Yeah. Call me Annie.
Call me Annie. So I thought, you know, I have a name that I wished I always was called, or I wish that I would have been named. I never really? Liked my name.
Okay. What did you want to be called?
We are going to laugh. But
well,
first
I mean,
of all,
I just laugh.
I know. 651-641-1071. What name do you always wish that you would have had? Or what's the name you always wished you had? Whatever. What do you wish your name was?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. And also, you can just tell us what your actual name is, too. Anyway, I always wished that my parents would have named me Joanna.
Oh, why Joanna?
Because I liked the idea of being called Joey. I like a gender-bendy name.
You had a dog named Joey, didn't you?
I did. Oh, interesting. He was named after Joey Ramone. From the Ramones.
Or was he?
Anyway, I always like wanted a name, and I also always wanted a name that had a nickname, because there's not a nickname for Colleen. Also, Colleen means girl. Also, my maiden name was Brady. Do you know what Brady means? Large chest. So my full name. Anybody?
Lady Large Chest?
Girl with the big boobs.
Oh,
yeah.
How do you get Brady and big boobs?
Chest.
Well, I mean, chest boobs.
Yeah. I just, you know, listen, I'm glad that nobody else did the work on that when I was younger, because I really would have, that would have been awkward. 651-641-1071. What's the name you always wished you had? Do we have any callers yet?
Yeah, Mary's on the line.
We've got Mary on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Mary.
Hello.
What's the name you always wished you had?
Well, most people aren't happy with the name they were given, but I'm adopted. And my parents, when they found out they were going to be able to adopt me, had wanted to call me Molly Bridget, which I love.
I love that name.
Right? And I got adopted into a pure Irish family. Both my parents are 100% Irish. So I thought that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, they called me Mary Kay. And I had an Aunt Mary and a Grandma Mary.
I was going to say,
so I went by
Irish...
Mary Kay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the reason they didn't name me Molly Bridget is because an aunt on my dad's side had a cow named Molly. And so she told them that she'd only think of a cow when they talked about me.
Man. Okay. So this is why people need to stay out of naming. I'm just saying, like, people need to never give their opinions about the names that people have chosen for their own children, because you could have been Molly Bridget.
I know, but I bet I probably wouldn't have liked Molly Bridget had I been named that.
That's actually true. You are absolutely correct.
You know, thank you
Grass
for your call.
Grass is always greener, especially when you're a cow.
Thank you, Mary Molly Bridget.
I'm not calling her a cow. I'm just saying.
I am curious if anybody actually likes their own name. Like, do you guys like your own name?
I do. I this is really obnoxious, but I was an only child. It shouldn't surprise you. Mm-hmm. I loved my name because it was not a first. Although because I can't just enjoy everything. If I had one criticism of my name, it's that it was not a real first name, which doesn't make any sense. But in my head, go with me, Bradley. That to me is not a first name. That's a last name.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
So, like, the name Brad is not, like, a real name. That's what I thought in my head.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
But I did like Bradley.
Bradley.
Nobody ever called me Bradley, but my mother, except for when she was angry.
Isn't that funny? And I almost exclusively call you Bradley.
Yeah, well it's because you came along at a point in my life where that's the name I went by.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Holly, do you like your name?
I loathe my name.
Yeah.
Oh. I do not like it. I've told my parents, so I'm like readily make that well known on the public record. I do not like my name at all, But it's just like, fine.
I think your name is, I don't know. I think you both have good names for who you are.
But see, I think Mary hit the nail on the head when she said nobody, well, most, for the most part, most people don't love their names.
Yeah.
And so, like, for example, like, I don't like my name at all. When Holly talks about loathing, what I loathe is my middle name with my first name. I think middle names.
What's your middle name again?
Courtney.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Courtney's it's an interesting name.
Thank you. I think so too. And that's a Minnesota interesting. Also, do you know what my middle name almost was? Bree, which would have made my name
Bree.
Colleen Bree Brady.
Do you know what I was supposed to be?
What?
Well, two things. I was allegedly supposed to be Travis.
Oh, I'm glad you're not.
Can you imagine Trainor. Travis Trainor, the mm-hmm. country music singer? Also, my first middle name, because I have, fun fact, two middle names. Mm-hmm. My first middle name was Timothy.
Mm.
And then my mother was like, no, I don't want that name. And so she changed it, amended my birth certificate. So every time I show my birth certificate, I have to like whip out an extra piece of paper that has the amendment that she filed after the fact.
That is so interesting.
It's,
that's a lot it's to Joseph. Keep track of, and I'm
Nobody
sorry.
Nobody cares. I mean, it's nothing. But.
Who do we have on the line, Holly?
Stephanie's with us.
Hello, Stephanie. What's the name you always wished you had?
Well, I heard the first caller talk about how she was adopted, and I'm adopted. And I actually had two names before my adopted parents settled on Stephanie. I was born Ellen, and then my foster parents changed it to Shannon, and now I'm Stephanie.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that's a journey. How do you feel about your name, Stephanie?
Oh, I love it. I grew up and I was the only Stephanie in my school, and the kids, you know, I babysat and did Sunday school and stuff, and they called me Steppy because they couldn't pronounce Stephanie.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's cute. Steppy.
And the only downside to it is my mother named me Stephanie, not Steph, not Steffy. Mm-hmm. And she would hang up on my friends when they called asking for Steph.
Stop oh God, it. That is
totally
so
a mom
great.
Thing to do.
I love that.
That's not my child.
Thank you for your call, Stephanie.
Steppy.
I will say that is, as a parent, people have preferences about like whether they'll let their kids have the nickname of their name. What bothers me is I have kids with nicknames is when people nick the nickname, which like we do this to Holly all the time, but sometimes
Balls.
So a lot of times people will call my son Oliver, whose nickname is Ollie. So I've already nicked it for you. They'll call him Alls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please don't, please don't, please don't.
Hey, Alls.
But we do that to Holly all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
many apologies.
I've just learned to live with it. Well, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what?
Your name is the like one of the things you don't control in your life that is always around your neck, right? Like mm-hmm. it's just always with you, but you have no control. Because how many times were you a kid and you were like, I want to be Colleen? Like there's some like Irish pronunciation of Colleen.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, you're not Colleen. You're Colleen. That's just who you are. People call me Brad, and I was like, it's Bradley. I don't do that anymore, but...
Can we take one more call? Are there?
Yeah, is
there
one? Let's have Joanne give us a last
word. Okay, perfect. Oh, Joanne. See, that's Joey. The name I wanted. Hi, Joanne. Joanne,
hello.
What's the name you always wished you had?
Well, so I hated my name when I was growing up, and it's funny enough because my nickname when I was a kid was Joey, so... I have your name.
Okay,
you always wanted.
What I want is for you to say that you wanted the name Colleen, and then we can switch. But I know I don't think that's where we're going.
No, it's not. So when my mom was getting, you know, when she was pregnant, she had decided she was in this weird, like Knights of the Round Table phase of her life, and so she was going to name me Guinevere or Genevieve.
Oh my God!
Oh, I like those names.
I do too. And so when she told me that, I was like, "How did I?" Why am I Joanne? Well, on the day that she had me, she was so like overwhelmed that she just named me after my grandma.
Aww.
So I'm first and middle, I'm named after my grandma. And at this point in my life, I'm totally fine with it and I love it.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I used to tell everyone to call me Genevieve and everyone thought I was the weird kid
who
like, made up my own name.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, Joanne, thank you for your call. That's so great. And thank you everybody for participating in our renaming of ourselves. Except for Bradley, who likes his name. Holly, what name did you wish you had?
I never even gave it a lot of thought. I was supposed to maybe be a Lauren or a Ryan, which I actually prefer both those names better than my own.
Mm-hmm.
What about Beverly? Did you ever want to be a Beverly?
Yeah, I wanted to be a Gladys.
You know, you don't get a lot of Hildegards these days.
No, it's true.
When we come back, or Buffy's, really. That was a Bosom Buddies reference.
Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
When we come back, two names we've really become acquainted with, Wilde and Stiles.
Oh, I was going to say D and Bag, but that's later.
That is later. We're going to talk a little publationship, Wilde and Stiles, after this on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. Wilde and Stiles coming to CBS Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. Just kidding. It's the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
It's snowing outside.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like the noise between my ears as the wind Most passes days. Through. What's a Wilde and Stiles, Trainer?
Wilde and Stiles is a publationship, yes, and also an upcoming CSI procedural on CBS this fall.
Really?
No, not really. Wilde and Stiles is a publationship that's a relationship for publicity that is composed of a Harry Wilde
nope.
and Regina Stiles.
No, Siri Bob.
Harry Stiles and Olivia Wilde.
There you go.
This story is going places, okay?
Take us on the journey. Take us on the journey, Trainer.
Well, you know, maybe just to catch the audience up, like, why were we talking about these people? And, like, just what do we know about them?
Okay, here's the thumbnail sketch. Olivia Wilde is directing a movie that Harry Styles is one of the stars of. Side note, I think he took the place of Shia LaBeouf. Yep. So there was already like conversation about the fact that Shia LaBeouf was out of a role and that Harry Styles took it. Anyway, the two of them were seen getting out of a car together at a wedding, and the two of them being Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. Yeah. And so then tongues started wagging. Oh my gosh, they're in a relationship. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, they're tunneling
down. And we over here in publationship awareness land, we're like, oh, they have a project to promote. Maybe that's why they're together. But then we also saw pictures of the two of them walking together and everybody went bonkers. And then we're hearing that Jason Sudeikis, her ex, is like super sad about it.
Yeah, which is weird, right? Because, and this is not unusual. It is not uncommon
Thank
with
you,
a publationship.
Tom Jones.
It's not unusual. Look at this, Colleen. I'm sorry. I was just playing out your fantasy for you.
Okay. Anyway, that was so not my fantasy.
That was my fantasy of your fantasy. Look at this. Okay, so in a perfect world, my brain would function
Jason
correctly.
Sudeikis, this was weird.
So this is a thing that happens in publationships now, where we can't just have the two people involved in a relationship getting publicity. They're hangers-on, or we should come up with a term for this.
Well, it's
but
like
it's
a publationship triangle.
Yeah, publationship triangle, or like publationship by publationship barnacles. I like that, or like publationship by proxy, yeah. Right? So like, or publationship adjacent. So these are people that are not directly connected to the main participants in the publationship, in this case, Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde. But now we have the ex of Olivia Wilde getting headlines as well. And the first headlines, as you pointed out, for Jason Sudeikis were, I'm really sad that Olivia Wilde left me. Also, it threw up some math problems where we had to do math on when they broke up. That is, when Jason and Olivia broke up. It also brought in some other blind items we've heard about Jason Sudeikis that are questionable. So, like, there is reason to go, like, why is Jason Sudeikis popping up in this publationship triangle? Well, there's more.
But wait.
And here's the more. Jason Sudeikis, this is an exclusive from Us Weekly, which means the call's coming from inside the house. Somebody connected with one of these three people wants us to know the following. Jason Sudeikis hopes his ex Olivia Wilde will, quote, snap out of it amid Harry Styles' romance. He's desperate to win her back.
Okay, so this is really interesting because, oh, okay, I'm going to, like, create a narrative here. Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
This
can
is
I
the
tell
thing.
You the story
no.
first?
No. Yes, of course. Okay. Sorry. I got really excited.
No, no, no. And I think I know where you're probably going to go if I know what's in your brain most days. But let's tell the story first. The story is from the source. Jason's had no option but to step back and let Olivia do her thing. But he has his fingers crossed that this is just a phase and Olivia will snap out of it, or that Harry will get bored and move on before too long. He's best desperate to win her back and repair their family. Okay, so that's the thrust. What? Go with your theory.
Okay, so sometimes this thing happens in relationships where, like, something is an issue, and one person comes to the other and is like, this is an issue, and if it continues, I'm going to leave. And then the person goes, okay, yeah, I'll work on it. And then they maybe work on it for, like, a minute and a half, and then they go back to their old ways. And then the other person is like, hey, this is still an issue and I'm going to go. And then at some point, the rubber actually meets the road and the person goes. And the other person is like, wait a minute, were you serious?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that something similar to this happened with Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, where she probably went to him a trillion times and was like, we got to fix this thing. And he was like, yeah. Well, I'm totally going to fix it. And then it fixed for a minute. And then back to basics. And she was like, deuces, I'm out. And now he's like, but wait a minute, no, I don't want. And then he sees her with another person, and that's like, oh. And now he's come back and he's doing it all publicly because that's the only way he can do it. Sorry.
That's a great theory, but what's the slight problem with that in 30 seconds?
This is all fake.
It's all fake.
Yeah.
So that's a great narrative, but what's really going on? What does Jason Sudeikis have to get out of headlines about wanting to get his girlfriend back?
And attention,
but I think there's actually something more at work, and we'll tell you what that is on the other side of this break before we get to our D-bags.
Good tease. That's what we're going to do. Stay right there after this on My Talk 107.1. This song came along at the right time on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
What up?
We, of course, are going to get to the D-bags today, but we were just talking in the last segment about the new publicationship Wilde and Stiles and Jason Sudeikis' involvement in the story around them. And where were we, Bradley?
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis is hoping that Olivia Wilde will snap out of it, and or Harry Styles will become less interested because, you know, he's just a feisty lad who wants to plant his Johnny Appleseeds all over the world with pretty ladies, right? So at some point, he'll get tired of this pasture and move on to greener things. Basically, he'll get tired of her. But, you had this nice narrative that would make for a great Lifetime movie that, like, Jason Sudeikis just couldn't deal with the reality that she was done with him.
Yeah.
And is like, I hope she comes back because she's going to realize what she missed. Meanwhile, Olivia Wilde's like, bleep, have you seen Harry Styles? Hi. However, it's a publicationship, which means that everything we hear is not necessarily what we see, meaning what's really going on behind the scenes might not actually be reflected in the tabloids we're reading.
Because nothing is real.
And everyone smokes. And to that end, I wonder if this is like laying a predicate or some sort of foundation for... That by that I mean that the story that Jason Sudeikis hopes that she'll come back to him is laying the groundwork for a narrative for her to actually get back together with him when the publicationship is over.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I mean because this is not the first time and in the first way he's said this, or at least it's been reported that he said this, right? Like the first one was just like, he's so sad. He wishes that this wasn't happening in such a public way and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like basically he's like one sentence short of being saying, I'll do anything I can to get her back.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, remember, there are things about him that we don't want to that he doesn't want us to pay attention to.
Like rumors of fathering other children.
If the headlines about him are, I mean, this is a much simpler theory, but if he's just trying to get positive headlines or to look like, you know, like, oh, he's just got a broken heart. Poor Jason Sudeikis. Like, if we're over here thinking poor Jason Sudeikis, We're not thinking about shady Jason Sudeikis.
Or this is just like covering his tracks, right? Like if he looks like he misses the mother of his children.
Then you won't question.
You won't question whether or not, you know, he has other progeny out in the world. Interesting. Now it is the time to transition to our D-bag segment.
Okay.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Your D-bag.
Tom Cruise is gonna lose. Has already lost his mind. Tom Cruise, quote, has splashed out on two COVID secure robots. I think that means spent a lot of money on two robots. Robots, people. Mm. What is this, the 1940s? Robots for his Mission Impossible 7 movie to test the crew
off his rocker
and make sure the robots will make sure that people are following orders.
Can I really quickly, before you say anything more about the robots, can I just want to point a couple things out. One is that the headline is that Tom Cruise has splashed out the money to buy these robots. No.
Tom Hanks?
No.
What?
The Church of Scientology has purchased these robots.
Oh, thank you.
On Tom Cruise's behalf. Yeah.
Because actually, Tom Cruise doesn't pay for anything. The money stolen from members of the Church of Scientology.
Precisely. Yeah.
Oh, because it's a tax-exempt purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to be really clear about that. But it will be attached to him, so he looks like a hero.
Did he get these... You know what I think? I think these are just, like, Roombas that he, like, masking taped, like...
One of those...
Like, a thermometer.
One of those thermometers. And it just beeps. Beep.
Ooh, you better watch out because Tom Cruise robot's going to get you.
No, at least it's not the Boston Dynamic robots. Have you seen videos of those?
The ones that look like killer animals?
Oh, who also dance in tandem. It's quite fascinating. They made these robots dance so that they would seem less scary. I'm like, that doesn't seem less scary. But let me tell you the actual story. So according to The Sun, take that for what it's worth. He is making sure that his crew is, quote, behaving themselves and following the rules with sophisticated robots that will patrol during filming and can also test the staff for coronavirus.
No.
That's not a thing. Like, this story is not real.
No.
Because that's not a thing. They don't have COVID testing robots.
Hold on
again, unless it's like
I'm gonna just quickly
from Sharper Image or like Tommy Bartlett's Robot World circa 1984.
With every robot coronavirus test, it comes with a 10-minute foot massage.
I have terrible news for you.
What?
Apparently there are COVID testing robots.
Okay, but what do they look like, pray tell?
I'm working on that.
Okay. You're Googling something, I take it?
They use something like this in Singapore, but I don't think this is the kind of robot that
he... Now, I imagine that there's something wheeling around on, like, wheels that's like, beep, boop, 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 beep, spit into this cup, and then the cup wheels, you know, then it goes off to some
testing lab. With you on the Roomba situation.
Yeah.
That seems more likely. You know,
actually, what's very likely is that there's like a member of the Church of Scientology that has been duct taped to a Roomba.
That has like a box.
It's like a cardboard box and a hand comes out with like a thermometer and shoots the thermometer at his forehead.
Would you like a free personality test?
But everybody thinks...
Touch these cans.
But everybody thinks it's a robot.
Like, it's just painted silver.
Actually, the only person who thinks it's a robot is Tom Cruise.
But the people, like, he's paying them like 25 cents an hour because that's what they do in the Church of Scientology. Yeah. And he's like, act like a robot. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, do you think
I have come to test you for COVID-19?
Please spit into this cup.
Oh, no. He probably has people like that all over his house, and he thinks that he has robots, but they're just
painted. Please take this personality
with,
test.
With, like, nuts and bolts on their, like...
And they look like Rosie from the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to know who my D-bag is?
Yes, okay, I absolutely do,
of course. You don't have to think about it so long.
No, I wasn't. I was just trying to breathe.
Okay, well, we don't do that on this show. Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks.
You guys, oh my gosh. She, you know, I don't know. Tyra Banks is like one of those people who thinks too much about what she's going to do on social media in a way. And then she's like, I'm going to be super inspiring and helpful. but it's really just self-serving and ridiculous. Okay, I'm going to read to you the caption of a picture she posted. She posted two pictures side by side, you know, like one of those like swipe to see, whatever. Okay, ready?
Yep.
I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to describe what you're looking at. Okay. My retouched calves before and after. We all have something that we're insecure about. One of mine, my skinny calves. Maybe I'll incorporate more calf exercises into my 2021 resolutions. Laugh till you cry emoji. You and I know that will last for just a week. Ha! Hashtag love the calves that I have. What body part are you learning to love? Okay.
What?
Thank you.
My spleen?
Then I want you to look at... Here, I'm going to actually put the actual... Here's the actual Instagram link. I want you to open it up. And then I want you to look at the pictures with the photoshopped calves.
Oh.
Do you see any difference?
What
am I looking at?
Her calves. Camera one? She hates her calves.
Camera I don't two. See her calves.
And they're her skinny one? Calves. And they had to... The only thing that's been photoshopped in this picture is her skinny calves, Bradley. And you don't see it? I don't see it.
I mean, you barely see it.
I don't... Well, what am I supposed to see?
So, the first
image... First of all, aren't your calves behind you?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah, these are her shins that we're looking
thank
at.
Thank you. I was like, I don't know, maybe the calves will go all the way around.
Maybe an anatomy class would be helpful.
She got some skinny calves. Like, I do think a man... Like, you always want to look at a man's calves, because that'll tell you a lot about the rest of the man. But... I'm assuming the same is true of a woman.
Is that an old adage that you...
Yeah, exactly.
From the Saturday Evening Post?
Always look at a man's calves.
Well, because if he has well-defined calves, I mean...
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he pays attention to leg day.
Chicken legs, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like chicken legs. Anyway, I just... This was one of those... I saw this...
Skinny
and
calves,
I was like,
I don't...
Tyra, stop.
It's... Well, here's what it is. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a Diet Dr. Pepper? Mm.
Oh, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty?
Mm.
No, but Tyra Banks is.
Thirsty.
Oh, thank you.
Quench.
Yeah, like she posts a photo with her boobs. Like the first thing you see is her boobs.
Yeah.
And her thighs. You like, and then she's like, I've always hated my calves.
Booby, 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 booby. What that is that's like an attempt to be super relatable, right? Like, oh, women, all women hate a piece of their body. Let's talk about it.
Oh, yes. That's like thirst trapping by means of insecurity. Like, get everybody else to focus on their own insecurity while they marvel at your breasts.
And then, you know, as you scroll through, there's, well, most people in this case are like, I don't even see the difference, because guess what? I don't even see the difference.
I don't. Yeah, there is no difference.
There isn't any difference. Mm-hmm. But then you know that there are people that are like, oh, your calves are just fine. You're perfect the way you are. Like, ugh. And, you know, she's feeling real good about it.
Well, then you're just causing people to get into those conversations, those negativity spirals for attention, where then it becomes, well, I don't like my left second toe. It's so ugly. And then it goes on, so on and so forth. Those conversations.
Every single time in my life that I have revealed to somebody in a moment of honesty and vulnerability about my own insecurity, the look you always get from people is this.
Huh?
Like, I'd never have noticed that about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I do.
See, think about that, and that it should be, actually, that should be the conversation, which is that, like, the thing that you don't like about yourself, nobody else is noticing. So why are you putting energy toward that?
Exactly.
Let it go.
Yeah, I guarantee that, like, the hump that you have is the thing that everybody's looking at. Not your calves. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, like, if people are judging you for something, it's not the thing you probably think.
That is 100% true. But in the case of our next story, the thing that people are judging is Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, well.
And it's her personality.
And her calves.
And it's not going away. And I'm going to tell you a story about somebody else who's come forward and talked about a bad experience with Ellen DeGeneres. I guess we're still doing this. We'll talk about it after on My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
What up?
We got to talk about Ellen DeGeneres, because apparently she's still a Rudy Tuesday.
What's going on with Ellen? I thought she was coming back and she was all changed and happy and new.
But see, here's the thing about this is, you know, she can come back and be like, new, you know, we're turning over a new leaf and everything's, we're just addressing things at the Ellen show and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there are still thousands of stories about people who have interacted with Ellen and had less than stellar interactions. And today, we're talking about a person named Trisha Paytas. Do you know who she is?
Oh, yes. Isn't she the one that, like, eats a bunch of food?
Well, I don't know what else she does, but she talks fast.
Yeah.
She reads fast, and that was why she was on the Ellen show. She's also maybe a YouTuber or a TikTok person, or also she does a podcast.
I think she started on YouTube. I could be totally wrong, and somebody's going to have, like, the back catalog of Patricia Paytas. But I can remember is like seeing videos of her eating food. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Hold on. I just want to get her whole, she's an American media personality. She is a YouTuber, a model, and a singer. She lives in California. She was a stripper at one point, and she also acts on the side.
She was on Celebrity Big Brother over in the UK.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so she was a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres show because she can read really fast, and they were doing like stupid human tricks type thing on Ellen. And she's telling this story in a podcast episode about how like what a terrible experience that was. This happened in 2010. She was 22 years old, and it was the audience talent segment that she was taking part in. And she says, and this is concurrent with what we've heard about Ellen DeGeneres, that among other things, she was told that she couldn't look Ellen in the eye. She said, I wanted to be famous. And she said, my thought was, if I go on all these shows, someone will discover me. I thought Ellen was going to discover me and I was going to be like a co-host of hers. That was my thought process. Okay. So that's like,
she was in a rational place.
Yeah. So like, but you know what? I want to stick a pin in that because I want to talk about that too. She said, when all that stuff started coming out about Ellen, I was like, that makes sense because she was so awful. She literally would not talk. They tell you, don't look her in the eyes. Don't touch her. And you'll see if you actually watch her segment, she's overjoyed. Like, she's so hyper and excited. And a couple times she reaches over to touch Ellen. And at one point she does it. And then she herself recoils and goes, oh, I'm not supposed to touch you. She says it like out loud.
My God, that's hilarious.
In the segment. But she basically just says it was the worst experience. Now, you said like she was not in a rational space,
yeah.
Right? But see, I actually am not. I don't want to justify anything, or I don't want to hop to her defense in this way. But I do think that everybody who is on the Ellen show is in some sense is some sort of disconnected from reality, right? It's the same thing with Oprah. When you think somebody has the Midas touch and you are going to get an audience with them, that is a natural thing to think this is going to be your big break, especially when you're somebody like this gal,
yeah,
who wants to be famous. Like, that is her actual ultimate goal.
For sure.
She thinks this is when she's going to be discovered. So on the one hand, I can't fault her for that. But what this reminds me of, Bradley, is the thing that we've always said, which is never meet your idols.
Oh, for sure.
They will always disappoint you.
Yeah, I mean, you're just never going to have a good experience, and you're always just going to, I mean, I don't know, maybe people do, maybe that's a fun conversation to have someday, like, who did you meet, and you were actually like, oh my God, I actually am glad I met them, because I just feel like most celebrities are not on the inside who they are on the outside,
right?
Much like most people, and so it's just kind of like going behind the curtain in a way that's not going to really, I just don't feel like you're going to learn much other than heartbreak and sadness.
I think the thing that makes me sad about this is in the beginning when these stories used to trickle out, you could build a case for like, oh, Ellen just must be crabby, or maybe she's had like a string of bad days, or everybody has a bad day here and there. But more and more, it just sounds like this is her baseline, is to just be a crabby apple constantly.
Also, you know, okay. I imagine as well that when you're at this point in Ellen's career, there were so many people around her that were like creating this aura of who she was and this untouchability thing. Like, I can totally see somebody on her staff being like, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to talk to Ellen, but here's the thing. Because, like, you can just imagine how this works. Like, people get up in her face and talk incessantly, don't realize boundaries.
Right.
You have to keep time. You have to keep people moving. You've got a segment to do. I know it's a real person, but at the same time, you're doing a thing. They do not know how to do that thing because they haven't been in Hollywood mm-hmm. or like behind a camera very often. So you've got all these people in place to be like, I need you to not look at her, not touch her. Well, not look at her. Obviously, you're going to have to look at her, but like, don't get all up in her business. I can see somebody creating that framework around Ellen.
Right. To try to bring some predictability to an unpredictable person.
Yeah. And I'm not excusing it per se, but I'm saying I can see somebody thinking like, you know, I want to protect Ellen from, you know, people not practicing good boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then that just sort of being a self-fulfilling prophecy or a thing that just, it's like a feedback loop. So yeah. Like, you know, the more that happens, the more, you know, the second generation of people who are there to talk to guests heard the stories from the first generation of people who, you know, were mm-hmm. like her barrier between reality. And like, it just becomes a bigger thing than it really is, to the point where all of a sudden Ellen's like, why are people not looking at me?
Right.
I'm not trying to take any responsibility away from Ellen because maybe she is just a, you know,
but a you cranky know, here's, person. Here's the thing. You start to watch her differently when you know the stories about her being a biatch.
Yeah.
Because you start to hear that tone in her voice when she's talking to people. You start to hear that kind of judgy way that she interacts with people, or like she's up here and they're down here. And, you know, she's the one that's going to make the decision about what happens next with them, because she does have the Midas touch. She has made people into stars. Justin Bieber. Thank you very much. Also, she stays remarkably quiet about Justin Bieber. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Like when he was peeing in buckets, she wasn't I did that.
I guess the point that I would make is like, all of those things about her as a person might be true, but I think the way we revere celebrity in this culture, we, by we, I mean the people around these people, have some responsibility, because I feel like they do this thing where they're like, oh, we don't want to get Ellen mad.
Right.
Because we know Ellen doesn't like green peanuts.
Yeah, that's true.
Green peanuts. No, green M&Ms.
True, because
so make sure there are no green M&Ms. And like Ellen's like, I don't. Just because one time I said I didn't like green M&Ms, all of a sudden I can't have them anywhere?
We don't always say this, but other people say this, and I'll pretend like we always say this. Like, the truth is probably somewhere in between all of this.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, you can build a case for the fact that, like, she ceases to be human when she is who she is in the world, right? When people regard her as we regard Ellen. And so, probably in the name of trying to protect her or making assumptions about who she is or trying to prepare people for their experience being one-on-one with her, stories got spun. And the truth of them, you know, I'm sure Ellen never sat down and headed up a meeting where she was like, okay, everybody, listen, tell those guests never to look me in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt that that happened. But I don't doubt that people were told to not look her in the eye.
Yeah. And I bet at a certain point, maybe Ellen was like, I don't want people looking me in the eye.
Mm.
Like, I mean, because again, you if everyone around you is keeping reality away from you and you've lived in that Oprah-level rich bubble for mm-hmm. long enough, like, I just think you become a different person. Right?
I want to live in that bubble and not turn into a B word.
I think you're better off, like, going up into the hills and living in a cabin.
No, I don't think so.
With electricity and running water.
Okay. And a laser-cut bathtub?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, thanks. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, here's the question. What's your favorite pork product? You heard me. What's your favorite pork product? 651-641-1071. We'll talk pork after this on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.